Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to Prophetic Moves radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And I know that I've heard a few comments and people say, well, Prophetic News, and why do you call the program Prophetic News when there's no prophetic news? Well, there is prophetic news because the Bible says that in the end times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and that there would be a great falling away, and we're certainly seeing that. And so that is prophetic. And also, Jesus said that many shall come in my name, and they'll do miracles in my name. And Jesus will say to them one day, depart from me, I never knew you. And so we see in the church today, we see people that pose as Christians, and we even see them on so-called Christian television. And they're usually peddling a book or a movie or a tape or something. And we've been so gullible in the past, just accept anyone and buy their books and make them rich. And then we might notice something might be wrong with the fruit they're exhibiting, but we just accept these people, and then we find out that they're never really a Christian at all. They're just a wolf in sheep's clothing. So we're going to expose some of those people today, and we will. I have some audio clips and that I was able to gather, but you might be surprised about some of these people that I'm going to mention, and probably you would know anyway, but there's some things in the news this week. Now we have the train crash in Philadelphia, terrible event there, but they're examining the windshield, and they're saying now that it could have been some kind of a projectile that hit the windshield. They were trying to blame the conductor. Well, we still don't know his side of the story because he had a concussion, so he wasn't able to really remember or talk to the police about exactly what happened. But it's odd, really, how the news media will run with a story, and they get people all riled up about things before they have all the facts straight. And even some of the news reporting today, they don't even report the facts. Sometimes they just make things up before they have the facts. And if you're going to be a good journalist, and I consider this program part of journalism and reporting and news reporting, so I try to do my homework and try to get my facts straight so I don't mislead people. And you can ruin somebody's life like that. So it remains to be seen yet what happened, because even how many days ago did this accident happen? And just today they're reporting that there was another train that had something done to their windshield in Philadelphia I don't know if it was just around the time or near the time that the crash took place. So why didn't they say that too in the beginning and try to report the story using facts before they were trying to blame the driver of the train? We still don't know, of course, what happened. So we'll see how the story develops. Also, it's kind of interesting. I'm a football fan. I love football. And there's this story about Deflategate. And kind of odd, really, because if you go back to the history of the New England Patriots, they've been known to do things, spying. They were videotaping other teams' walkthroughs in times past and videotaping their signals and trying to gain an advantage to win games. Well, they were called out on this a few years ago, but now there's the report that the quarterback, Tom Brady, was letting air out of his footballs and trying to gain an advantage. Now, they according to some quarterbacks and receivers, now the receiver is the person that catches the ball, in case some of you don't know about football, but they're saying that if the footballs are underinflated, it's easier to catch, especially in rain and snow, and it's easier to throw. Now, a 37-year-old quarterback, he's going to lose some arm strength. So I'm sure that I don't know exactly what happened in this situation. You can go online and read the Wells report. It's quite interesting. You need to read it because even if you watch some of the reporting on the sports networks, they don't get it right either. So you have to look at all the facts. But to me, the thing that really sticks out is that when anybody, and this is goes back to human nature, especially unsaved human nature, but if you're caught doing something wrong and then you get punished, like Tom Brady is, he's being, he can't play for the first four games. He's been suspended. Well, they should have suspended him for the whole year and the coach. And so I think he's getting off light, really. But in the Wells report, they have text messages from to a locker room attendant and I guess somebody that handled the footballs, and he calls himself the deflator, and they talk about having a needle that they used to deflate these footballs, and they talk about footballs and they talk about putting air in footballs and taking air out of footballs. And so the attorney for Tom Brady, he puts out this report, and he's saying that the man that talked about being the deflator was talking about losing weight, that he was losing weight, so he was deflating. And so any normal person, like normal thinking person, would think, well, why was he using a needle? Like, did he stick a needle in his stomach to deflate his stomach? So the whole thing, you know, it involves millions of dollars and people's reputations. And but I think eventually your sin will find you out. So there's going to be more to the story, and I don't think it'll be interesting to see what happens down the road here, because they're appealing it, and then they're talking about going to federal court. Okay, when you go to court, turn over your evidence. So if Tom Brady didn't have anything to hide, he should have cooperated with the NFL and not tried to stonewall. And you see what's happening now. It goes back to even the topic we're going to talk about today, because people want to do whatever they want to do. They want to be homosexual. They want to be adulterous. They want to be foul-mouthed. They want to do whatever they want to do, and then they want to say, I'm a Christian. And then if you quote a Bible passage to them, then they say you're a hater, and this is hate speech. So I think in the days ahead, it's going to be harder and harder for us to talk about right and wrong, because now, and you see it so much now, where you can't talk, they don't like for you to talk about right and wrong, because they're trying to tell you there is no right and wrong. God loves everybody, and he loves everything you do, and you can do whatever you want, and God loves you. Now, Jesus Jesus was love, and he just loved everybody. Well, I guess they never read the Bible. Did they ever read the Bible? Like, you know, Jesus overturned the money changers' tables. He called the Pharisees at whitewashed walls, and he told people off. So he stood up for what was right. And I guess they take those passages out of the Bible. They don't like those passages. So, but we're going to see where it's going to be harder and harder to preach the gospel. And there'll be many people that will be offended. Your own family will turn against you. And I guess some of us have experienced that also, where you might have family members where you have to explain to them between right and wrong, and then they get angry at you. And so just like people have their favorite TV evangelist, or they have their favorite so-called Christian celebrity, and they don't want you saying anything about these people, they'll call you a hater. Well, you can search the internet like I did this morning and find some very telling quotes from these people that claim to be Christian, and you see them being interviewed on TBN or Daystar Network, God TV, UnGod TV, Word Network, UnWord Network, and they want you to welcome them and buy their books and buy their goods, and they get rich, and they laugh all the way to the bank and laugh at us because they've managed to con us. And I thought it was interesting last week when I was listening to Jackie Alnor's program on Rapture Ready Radio. And I never knew this until I heard it on her program, because she was talking about TBN and how they have people on there as hosts who aren't saved. And one of the people she mentioned was Steve Harvey, the comedian and the talk show host. So I didn't really know these things about Steve Harvey until she played the audio clips, and I was shocked. I have to tell you that I couldn't believe the filth that was coming out of this man's mouth. Now, I have some audio of him, and you can go on YouTube, and if you put Steve Harvey cussing, it'll bring up the videos. I edited out, I tried to edit out the most disgusting language. This man is not a Christian. He's not a Christian. He is disgusting, and he masquerades as a Christian. One, even in these despicable audio clips of his, he talks about Jesus Christ and how he's a Christian, and then 5 seconds later, the F word comes out of his mouth, and every foul thing you could think about. And he's entertaining people. He's in Las Vegas, and he's got a sold-out crowd there. And not only that, most of his audience is made up of black people. He insults them, and they laugh at it. They were laughing at it. I was like, this is not funny, okay? It's not funny. So stay away from Steve Harvey. And this man actually has been on some of these so-called Christian networks selling books, and he's going to tell you how to have a relationship. And he has something about you can be a woman but think like a man. How does a woman think like a man? I don't think like a man. I'm a woman. So, no, I don't think like a man. He is an idiot. So let me play some of these clips for you, because I'm sure you'll be shocked. And I think there might be a few curse words in here. Like I said, I tried to edit most of the most horrible language out of these clips. But I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I had to stop listening after a while because it was so bad. And this man needs to be thrown off any kind of a so-called Christian network. And even T.D. Jakes has this man at his conferences. Well, we know about T.D. Jakes. And so it's ridiculous. But anyway, let me play Steve Harvey here and get ready to be shocked.
I never start anything without first of all saying God is everything to me. If it wasn't for God, I never ever would have made it. Well, now that we got that out the way, how y'all doing, y'all country ass? Oh, yeah. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Sold out. MGM Grand, Las Vegas, Nevada. I sure appreciate y'all coming. Man. Boy, this is how you go out. I sure appreciate y'all. This is how you go out. We got some laughing to do tonight, though. Might well go and get it started right now. Let's get a couple things out the way. First of all, I know it's been a lot of controversy because I'm a Christian now, and a lot of people have been working it out in their mind, you know, how Steve doing. I'm still wrestling with a couple things, trying to get through. He ain't through with me yet. I've been working on the cussing. I've been trying to get the cussing.
You know, the interesting thing is, see, this is how foul this man is. Because he says here, this is his introduction to his so-called comedy act, and he's a Christian now, and he's trying to work out the cussing. And then what does he do? Okay, if you're trying to work out the cussing, you don't cuss. Well, then he starts with the F word and the S word, and just it goes from one filthy thing to another. So, anyway, here's another clip.
I have tried to stop cussing. I can't find no substitute words. I don't know what else to say. I don't know nobody don't cuss. How many of y'all in here don't cuss? Raise your hand if you don't cuss. See right there? Just a damn lie.
Yeah. Everybody cusses. Yeah. Everybody cusses, all Christians, Christians go to church and pastors stand in the pulpit and everybody cusses. Well, no, everybody doesn't cuss like you do, Steve Harvey, in public, especially after you confessed, oh, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus Christ, and then you talk like you're a reprobate. That's what you are.
Thank you. Because, see, I've been trying to figure it out, too. Where did cussing come from? Where did cussing come from? It ain't start with me. You know I have a theory. I think cussing started back with Moses. Now, listen to me. I don't think Moses cussed. I really don't. But the people around Moses, their ass was cussing. They had to, because Moses was doing some tripped out stuff. You saw the movie? Moses had that stick, called it a staff, threw it on the floor. It turned into a snake.
Yeah, you're a snake. Then not only that, but then he brings Bible stories into the act. Oh, he thinks, where did cussing start? Cussing started with the children of Israel when Moses was leading them out of the wilderness. Yeah, that's what he says. That's where he says it started. Oh, dear. Here's another one.
Fish and 5 loaves of bread, you know, good and well. It was some people at the end of that line. No good and hell well, ain't gonna be no fish when we get up here.
Yeah, the most, and then the most disgusting thing that he just did there was that he's saying that when Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes, the people at the back of the line were cussing. And here's the last clip here from Steve Harvey.
On your radio show, you portray a character by the name of Sister Odell.
Sister Odell?
Yes. She seems to be somewhat of a mean lady. And I was wondering if she's based off of anyone either in your family or just someone you know in general.
Sister Odell was born back at my church in Cleveland. My mother had a friend, a lady named Adele Porter, the meanest church lady. Yeah, I was a little boy, I was 7. You ever met them people who scowl, and no matter what you ask them, they answer is all wrong you get? And her voice was just, you know, it's just a... Sure is a beautiful day outside. But when they say it, you go outside and it don't really feel beautiful to you no more. This damn near thunderstorm. She would compliment you and then slap you at the same time. That's a pretty black blouse you got on, somebody dead. Let me tell you this. This is a true story. This is the first time that I found out that you could cuss at church. My mother was best friends with her, and we were having bake sale one time, and I was 7. I was real little. And one of the deacons liked Sister Porter, and he was in line, and she saw him coming, and she leaned over to my mother, and she said, here come this black.
Anyway, there you go. Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey. You need to get saved. You are not saved. Please do not insult the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ by calling yourself a Christian. Please. And people, please do not buy this man's books. Do not support his television programs in any way, shape, or form. This man is despicable. Now, I'm sure that you all have seen Dr. Phil. Now, here's another one. Dr. Phil and his wife, Robin. Now, I've seen Dr. Phil, and they put out a book a while back. Right now, I don't have the name of it, but I remember they were on James Robison's program. James Robison, who's famous lately for going to see the Pope, and so it was Kenneth Copeland. And anyway, so Dr. Phil, now he's a Christian. You didn't know that? Yeah. Dr. Phil, now he's on James Robinson. He's a Christian, him and Robin. I can't remember what church they went to, but they mentioned, I remember them mentioning the name of their pastor, Dr. Phil and Robin, and then they even had them on, I think Marcus and Joni had them on the Daystar Network. Dr. Phil and Robin, the Christians, there they were peddling their book. Oh, didn't you know Dr. Phil's a Christian? Yeah. Okay, I want to know, okay, Dr. Phil, why, you're a Christian, right? You say you're a Christian? Why did you have John Edwards, the psychic warlock, on your show, the Dr. Phil program? Okay, you're a Christian, and you allowed your producers to have this man on your program. And not only was this man on your program, Dr. Phil and Robin, as you sat in the audience, but he actually gave psychic readings to the audience. Yeah. Now, oh, okay, so Christians, my brothers and sisters, oh, yeah, we endorse psychic readings and talking to the dead. We endorse that now? I don't think so. What a phony. There's another one. Look out for him and his wife, Robin, who's had so many plastic surgeries that and her face is starting to look funny. I mean, you could only do so much to your face, okay? Then after a while, you're going to really ruin it and look like a freak. So, and him too, now he had something done to his eyes where his eyes are bugging out because whoever snipped his eyes snipped too much off. And you ever see people when they've had bad plastic surgery and their eyes bug out because their eyes won't close? That's Dr. Phil. But there's another phony, if there ever was one. And even Steve Harvey now. Okay, Steve Harvey, right? The Christian. He has on, I can't remember her name, a blonde lady who's a psychic medium who talks to the dead. She has a program on, I don't know if it's the Lifetime channel or one of those channels, but yeah, he had her on giving psychic readings to the audience. Yeah, Steve Harvey. Mm-hmm. Well, Steve, your true colors have come out, and you've been exposed for being a fraud. And then we have, remember now, I got saved in 1981, okay? So at that time, Christian music was pretty new, and we had the Imperials. And, well, of course, we had Amy Grant. Remember Amy Grant? And Amy Grant, okay. She was very cleverly marketed, and she had very good producers. She had very good publicist, and oh boy, she could really sing about the Lord, right, Amy Grant? So, Amy Grant, now Amy Grant, she's an interesting one. She divorced her husband, Gary Chapman, and she married Vince Gill. And and then not too long ago, she does an interview with a homosexual magazine. Oh, and she's talking about that she's looking for the day when everybody will be included in the church. Okay, when people start talking about inclusion, that's when the light bulb should go off and you should say inclusion. No. We don't include everybody. Everybody's welcome to come to church, but we do not accept your lifestyle. We talk about sin. We preach against sin. We talk about hell. We tell people hell is a real place. Hell is a real place, okay? Yeah, there is a devil. There is a devil. And there is sin. That's why Jesus had to die for our sins, because they're sin. So, no, Amy Grant, we're not looking forward to the day when everybody's included. No, we're not looking forward to that day. But Amy Grant now, she, you know, remember, she went secular, and then she stopped talking about Jesus in her songs, because you can't sell music to secular people and talk about Jesus. You have to stop talking about Jesus. And no, you don't talk about Jesus. No, you don't talk about Jesus dying on a cross. You don't even have a cross in your church. Now, you notice that in these new modern churches, which now you don't go to church, you go to a campus, and you will not see a cross. No, you can't have a cross. You can't have a cross outside. You can't have a cross inside. It looks like a nightclub in most of these so-called churches. And don't talk about the fact that Jesus shed his blood on the cross. No, you can't talk about that, because you're going to, and don't talk about sin, and don't talk about hell, because you might hurt somebody's feelings. So that's how it's going today. That's how it's going. Well, if you're going to a church and they're ashamed of the cross, well, I would leave that church. I wouldn't be there. And I'm not going to church for a smoke show and a light show. And I'm not going to a nightclub, okay? No, I don't want to go to a place like that. I had enough of that stuff when I was in the world. I want to go to church. I want to hear about Jesus. I want to hear about sin. I want to hear about repentance. I want to hear about hell. I want to hear about all that, because that's what's in the Bible. You can't take things out of the Bible. But anyway, now Amy Grant, very interesting. She hooked, and remember, she promoted Michael W. Smith, another very odd character that calls himself a Christian. But then he allows at Rocket Town, he supposedly has a youth ministry outside of Nashville, and we did a program about it. You can see it in the archives. But he allows satanic rock bands to come to this place to minister, so-called, to the young people. Well, this is all true. You can see the documentation, the posters that are on the internet, and he does that. So what Christian does, excuse me, what Christian allows demonic, satanic rock bands to come and minister to their youth? Who does that? Except a wolf. Now, Amy Grant recently has hooked up with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You know, Bill Gates, who started Microsoft, who's worth about $50 or $75 billion. So he has so much money that he's giving it away. But he only gives it away to certain groups. Now, in the past, the Gates Foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates, have donated over $70 million to Planned Parenthood. Now, they say they don't directly fund organizations that do abortions, but we all know what Planned Parenthood does. We all know that Planned Parenthood funds abortions, or likes to push abortions. So, $71 million that they have given to Planned Parenthood. Now, Amy Grant has hooked up. She invited Melinda Gates to Nashville. She invited them to minister. She invited Melinda. Bill wasn't there, Bill Gates, but she hosted Melinda Gates in Nashville as she came to meet with our vibrant faith community for the first time. Look, Melinda Gates does not care about any vibrant church community, faith community. She doesn't care about any of that. No. Bill and Melinda Gates have an agenda, and that's to control the population of the world, to make sure that poor women, look, if you want to teach people about birth control, there's methods that don't harm you. Like, number one, birth control pills can cause spontaneous abortions. They also, children have been born with known heart defects because the mother took birth control pills. There's many, many side effects to birth control pills and IUDs and other forms. There's natural forms of family planning. That's what you can teach people. You don't have to teach people how to hurt themselves and kill their babies with the promotion of Planned Parenthood. These people in these poor countries, look, they don't need Planned Parenthood, okay? They need food and water and education. It's ridiculous. Also, I don't know if you know this. We have mentioned it in the past and have documentation. You can go on the websites for most of the vaccine manufacturers in this country. Go and read the paperwork that comes in the package with the drug, which you should do before you take any drug, is to read the side effects and find out what's, for most people that don't know this, and this is true. I didn't make this up. It's in their documents. It's in their package inserts. They use aborted baby cell lines in the vaccine. So you're wondering why children get autism? Well, I guess if we're not cannibals. So is there any reason why they have to use that cell line in most of the vaccines? The shingles vaccine, the chickenpox vaccine, the MMR vaccine, some of the polio vaccines, some of the flu vaccines. So before that doctor comes with, you know, walking up to you with a hypodermic needle, you better find out what's in it. You have a right to know. There are alternatives to these vaccines. So do a search on the internet. Vaccines from abortion and alternatives. Monkey embryo in some of these vaccines. Like, I'm not a monkey. I don't want monkey embryos. So find out for yourself. Now, if people want to vaccinate, find a safe alternative without mercury, without aluminum, without formaldehyde, and without aborted baby tissue. So that's the truth. That is the truth. And the main goal of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is to vaccinate every human being in the world. I've seen the videotape of Melinda Gates going into these little villages in these countries where people don't have, they live in these little huts. They don't have running water. They don't have toilets. They don't have anything, really, any modern conveniences. But yet, Bill, you know, there's Melinda Gates there feeding these babies vaccines, and the mothers don't even know what they're doing. They have no clue what they're doing or what's in this stuff that they're putting in the in their baby's mouth. So, oh, but Amy Grant, the Christian singer, she's no Christian. She's another wolf in sheep's clothing that we need to, don't buy her music, don't support her. Throw her music out if you have any of it in your house. She's a snake. So that's another one. Now, remember, here's some other people that have fooled us throughout the years. Now, Remember Britney Spears came out years ago? Remember she said she was a Christian? Yeah, she was a Christian, yeah. She was living with her boyfriend and the way she was dancing and dressing, and then I told some Christians, I said, no, she's not a Christian. This was years back, and I remember one girl said, no, she said she was a Christian. Look, Christians, okay, Christians, we're supposed to act like Christians. We're supposed to dress like Christians. We're supposed to talk like Christians. We don't commit adultery. We don't fornicate. We don't do those things. So if somebody's calling themselves a Christian and they're a homosexual and they're a fornicator and they're an adulterer and they star in movies where they take their clothes off and they swear and whatever, that's not Christian. That's not Christian. No. No, that's not Christian. They want you to think that's Christian, but no, that's not Christian. So, and then there was, remember, Kim Kardashian. Now, this is laughable. Kim Kardashian, like, she does this publicity shot, and trust me, it's all publicity. She's going to church, and she's got a Bible. She's carrying a Bible. Like, remember Bill Clinton used to go to church and carry a Bible, remember? It's a prop, okay? It's a prop. They don't read it. They don't look at it. It's just so that they think you're so gullible, and there's people out there that are so gullible that if you see them holding a Bible and walking into a church, that they must be Christian. Okay, this is the girl who got rich and famous by making a disgusting videotape. That's how she got fame and fortune. So, no, she's not a Christian. No. And then we have the quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, Russell Wilson. Now, Russell Wilson, okay? Russell Wilson claims he's a Christian. I never once heard him. Now, I haven't heard everything he said, but I never once heard him talk about Jesus. Like, he talks about God, but anybody can talk about God, okay? So he talks about God, and then I came across this picture of him on the internet, and he's doing yoga, and he's doing the lotus position, and he's got his hands in the position like he's doing the chant. Now, we don't do yoga. Christians, we don't do yoga. No, we don't do yoga. And recently now he's divorced, so he's dating Sierra. Okay, now every good Christian man would want to date Sierra, right? Like the girl that poses topless. You know, don't insult our intelligence, please. Stop it. Just stop it, okay? Go away. Just stop it. So how do we know? How are we supposed to know if somebody's a Christian or not a Christian? Jesus said, by their fruit, you will know them. If their fruit is rotten, they are not a Christian. That's not Christian. So we don't need to be supporting these people and talking about them like they're brethren, because they're not. They're not brethren. No, they're snakes. Snakes. Now, I'm going to play. Now, I don't know if you all remember. Do you all remember Ray Bolts? Remember him? The so-called Christian singer. Now, he was, this guy was good, okay? This guy, he had some good music. He had some real good music. Now, the whole time that he was selling his music to the church and he was appearing on so-called Christian television, and I know Paul Crouch liked him a lot, but the whole time that he was fooling us and conning us and getting rich off of us, he was a homosexual. Yeah. He says that he knew he was a homosexual when he was a teenager, but yet he got married, he had children, and for 30 years, then he was in Christian music, and he wrote 100 songs, and then he had to come out. He finally had to come out and be who he was, and, you know, he had to come out and say he was a pervert, that he decided that he was going to chase after strange flesh, and he was going to do whatever he wanted to do, and he's still going to call himself a Christian, but he had to come out and tell people who he really was. Well, why didn't you tell us who you really were before you came in and calmed the church with your music, and you sold your music to Christians? You should have come out before you did all that. I'm going to play some clips here. And I see that I have a caller. And let me just play some of these Ray Bolts clips here. And we'll find out here who Ray Bolts really was.
Just don't tell me who to love. And I got a little bit of flack for that. Some people have been kind of upset. But it starts off in the first verse about a Supreme Court case that was settled in 1967 called Loving versus Virginia. And it was a couple. There was a black lady and her husband was white. And it was against the law in several states for there to be interracial marriage. And in fact, they were, the police came into their home and they were arrested because she was black and he was white. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And in 1967, they decided that really marriage was a fundamental human right and that you couldn't tell somebody just because one person was of another race that they couldn't be married. And a couple things about that. They did a survey, and they talked to people all over the nation, and 70% of the people they talked to said that the Supreme Court was wrong in making that decision, that they'd overstepped their bounds, and they should have left interracial marriage as against the law. If you went today, though, and you went door-to-door in churches all over the country, and you did another survey and said, is it wrong for someone who of one race to marry another race? I think you'd see that it's changed. That by far the majority of people in this country believe it's okay. In fact, my son, my daughter, is married to a young man who's from the country of Nepal. And they have two of the most beautiful children, my grandchildren. And I love them so much, and it's all good. But that was a struggle, and that's the same struggle that gay people have today. You see, Mrs. Loving said that she wasn't a radical. She wasn't trying to make a point. She was just in love with her husband and wanted to live her life. And that's the same struggle that gay people have today, is that they love one another. They don't want to cause trouble. They don't want to change what anybody, how they pray or what you do in church. They just want to love one another, and they want to live together and be one. And so the song I wrote says, don't tell me who to love. Don't tell me who to kiss. Don't tell me that there's something wrong because I feel like this. See, I always used to feel like there was something wrong. But don't tell me that there's something wrong because I feel like this. I know what's in my heart, and that should be enough. Don't tell me who to love.
Give me a break. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Don't tell you. Don't tell you. Didn't Jesus say, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season? Didn't he say before he left the earth, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel? Oh, no, don't tell me what to do. That's that attitude. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell him what to do. What's he going to do with Romans, the first chapter of Romans? What are you going to do with that? throw it out of the Bible. Oh, no, I don't like that part. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me who I can be with. We just want to be with whoever we want to be with. We just want to do whatever we want to do. And don't tell us what to do. Last week we did the program with Christine Weick, and she's over there in Washington, D.C., and she's standing at the Supreme Court because they're supposed to rule on whether or not homosexuals can be married. And so she had posted some video, and don't say you're not trying to start trouble, okay, because most of the people that came up to her, most of the homosexual people that came up to her, and she has a sign there with a Bible verse on it, cursed her and acted like they wanted to hit her and wanted, and I mean, they were acting like they could have been violent with her. No, they didn't act like they were loving and kind and didn't act like they didn't want to start trouble. I mean, some of the most hateful speech and actions come from the homosexual community against Christians and trying to force us to accept their lifestyle. You can't force us to accept your lifestyle, because any Christian that really knows the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not going to accept evil. We're not going to do it. We're not going to tell you that wrong is right. We're just not going to do it. And you can't expect people, you have to force people to bake cakes and force them to perform gay marriages now. They're coming against some of the churches now in Scotland, and they're going to try to force the pastors there to marry them. Now, you can't force, if you're trying to force your lifestyle on me, don't force your lifestyle on me. And then you want to tell me that we can't tell you what the Bible says? No, that's wrong. That's wrong. Okay, here's some more Ray Bolts.
Make all the games and they make the rules. And my father hated that song. But it just shared what I was going through as a typical kid. Then when I was 19 years of age, I stumbled into a Christian concert, and I heard this band called The Fishermen. Didn't sound like a rock and roll band or something. The name didn't anyway. But every song was about Jesus. And as they sang, every song, it looked to me like they'd swallowed light bulbs or something. It was like light was coming out of their eyes and their smile. It was incredible. And at the end of that concert, I realized that Jesus wasn't somebody that just lived a long time ago. He wasn't somebody that they were singing about that was a political person or a historical figure. Jesus was like real to them. It's like in that very room with them. And at the end of that concert, I bowed my head and I said, Jesus, come into my heart, and I want to be a new creation and follow you. So that's how I came to Christ. Then another part of that was I was promised that night, if I confess my sins, God was faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And no one knew at that time that in my heart I had same-sex attractions, that I was gay. Nobody knew that. I had never shared it. I never had really experiences like, you know, going to different cities or whatever. I was just a kid that lived in Indiana. And yet deep inside I knew what I felt. And I was so ashamed of those feelings because I knew they couldn't be right. They couldn't be good. And I believed that night when I prayed that prayer that was going to be gone from my life. And I would be set free. And then for the next 30 years, I spent trying to live and walk in faith as though I was free. I tried to say, I have the mind of Christ, therefore it's impossible I'm not gay, because I have the mind of Christ, and Jesus wasn't gay. And so I dated. I fell in love with a girl named Carol Brammer, and I asked her to marry me, and we got married, and during our whole marriage, we loved each other. I always had these inner feelings, though, that, again, no one, not a single person knew about. We had four children, and my kids loved me, and we had a great family. But at the end of 30 years, the feelings were still there. And I realized, I think when I hit around 50 years of age, that it was possible that I could die and my kids not even know who I was. I kept this part of my life hidden from everyone so that no one could see it, because I thought if they knew who I was, they would hate me. And in those 30 years, some wonderful things happened. My kids came along. I started finding success in Christian music. I wrote songs like Thank You. And I...
Unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. I'm going to see if this caller has something to say. Hello, caller. Are you listening or do you have a comment? Hello? I guess not. Anyway, they're probably just listening. Okay, I have another clip here from Ray Bolts. Now, like, I mean, this poor guy, he's really confused. Could you imagine how his wife felt and his children? He said, oh, well, everybody accepted me. But it had to be devastating for the whole family that he marries this woman and they have four children. And then he says, well, he knew he was gay the whole time. And then they found out. He thought it would be awful that he could die and never tell them. He was better off never telling them. And he says that they would have never known who he really was. Well, who are you really? Who are you really? This is the last clip from Ray Bolts. It's about 7 minutes, so here's the rest of his testimony.
And I said, I've somehow found the strength to say I'm gay. It was really ironic. My family sitting with me at that table, it was the same day that the tsunami hit in the Indian Ocean and swept the lives of hundreds of thousands of people away. We felt like that night a wave, when I uttered some of those words, it was like a wave, a tsunami came into our family, and a flood of emotions and feelings. And yet at the end of that evening, each one of my children and my spouse, they all gathered around me and they said, Dad, we love you. We love you just the way you are. And all that I was hiding was now out in the open. And it was a moment of authenticity. It was a moment that changed all of our lives. And my daughter looked at me and she said, you know, I was afraid to walk into your room because I was afraid that I would find you hurt yourself. So in other words, they could see those dark suicidal thoughts that I thought I had hidden from everybody else. They could see so much more than I thought. And that began a journey of me being honest. And a few years later, in 2008, I did an interview with the Washington Blade newspaper, which is a large LGBT paper in Washington, D.C. And I'd been invited to sing one of my new songs at their church. And the Blade contacted me and said, we're not saying you're gay, and we're not saying you're not gay, but why did a Christian artist like you sing at the MCC church, a known church that's definitely gay and gay accepting? And I thought that, well, this is the time to be honest with not only my family, this is the time to be honest with the nation. And I did an interview that came out September 8th, 2008, and received thousands of emails, and it shut. They had so much response. It's the most read story in the history of the of Blade, because all these people were going to read it. And unfortunately, the reception of my family was not indicative of what was going to happen with the nation, because thousands and thousands of people wrote some really, really mean things. You know, that you disgust me, your music, I've always hated it, you should buy a gun and shoot yourself. So finally, when I'm not feeling dark and more like I want to commit suicide, I've got people said in the interview in the Washington Blade, I made a statement that I didn't believe that God hated me anymore. And somebody asked me, I don't know how long ago it was, they asked me, you know, how are you doing spiritually? And to be honest with you, what I said to them, I would say right now, is that I don't hate myself anymore. Not only do I not think that God hates me, I don't hate myself. I just believe that I am living the life that God created me to live, and I've come to accept that if He doesn't hate me, how can I hate myself? And even when the messages are negative or painful, I try to keep that in mind, because when I look at the life of Jesus, I see Him always accepting people for just who they are. The woman at the well, the prostitute, some people say, a Samaritan, a person nobody wanted to talk to. Jesus accepted her. The woman who was caught in the act of adultery, Jesus accepted her. He ate with tax collectors. Jesus is an accepting and a loving person. The only people I've seen Him judge in the scriptures were the religious people who thought they had it all together and tried to control everybody with their power and with money and prestige. Jesus compared them to sepulchers and tombs full of vipers or snakes and, you know, evil things. And that seems to be who He was the most upset with. And I've found that I can have a relationship with Jesus, and not only I can, but anybody can. And I've, in the past few years, been able to go to churches that are accepting and affirming and say, you know, God loves everybody, and He receives everybody. And I can just express that I believe that with my whole heart. God loves me, and I love Him. And when I receive the negative messages, this song comes to my mind, because it says, I will choose to love. That's what I'm going to do. I will choose to hope. I can't change what you may feel or what somebody else may feel, but I can choose to respond in love, and that's what I'm doing now. Hundreds of messages from people that are in exactly the same position I was in. Some of them are pastors, and it's so humbling to have somebody say, Ray, I wept when I listened to your songs on this new project, because that's exactly where I am. I tried to live a straight life. I got married. Now we have children. We've been married 24 years. One in particular, a young man that I heard about, he went to his pastor when he was just a teenager, and he said, I have these same-sex attractions. What do I do? And the pastor said, don't worry, son. When you get married, those will all go away.
Unbelievable. I don't know what Ray Boltz does with Romans 1, and I'll start reading at verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So, I don't know what Ray Bolts does with that scripture, because, yeah, God does love everybody, and God so loved the world that he gave. But when we accept Jesus Christ, we accept his principles, and we live by his principles. That's the way we're supposed to live. That's the gospel we're supposed to preach. We don't yield to our temptations. We don't yield to our flesh. We're all tempted, but we don't yield to those temptations because we love God more than we love ourselves. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, but only a season. And after that season is over, there is no pleasure. Here's another con artist that came on the scene a few years ago. Remember Clay Aiken? Remember Clay Aiken from American Idol? Now, Clay Aiken, he was a real con artist because he appeared on the scene and he said he was a Christian and he said he was a virgin. And meanwhile, he was a homosexual and he was no Christian. But he managed to sell millions of records and he conned people, but then he finally came out. Here's Clay Aiken.
Carolina to kind of go to the same schools that I went to and be raised in an environment which is interesting. I grew up a Southern Baptist and I still consider myself one, but there's a stereotype that Christians and people who are religious are completely anti-gay, anti-this, anti-that, and I hate that. I hate that stereotype because I know so many people who are Christians. I still am myself who are that and don't represent and are not representative of that stereotype.
So you want to take a look at the fountain?
But I still love it where I'm from, and I love the people in North Carolina, and I'm not leaving. I want my son to be raised in the same place because I think, like I said, I have an inordinate amount of hope, and I have an amazing amount of faith in Americans and society and the people who I grew up with and everywhere.
This is my mom when she was 3 months old. They look a lot alike.
Baby mine.
Carolina to kind of go to the same schools that I went to.
Unbelievable. Oh, he hates that. He hates anybody telling him what's right and what's wrong. Oh dear. I guess one day when you stand before God, you're going to hate that too. Because we're going to have to stand before God one day and explain yourself. So I guess you're going to hate that too. It would be better to hate sin now than when you die. The most horrible thing I think that could happen to a person. Now imagine this, that you knew about God. You knew, you heard the gospel. You had a chance while you were alive to repent of your sins and make Jesus Christ your Lord. You heard the gospel, you knew the truth, and then you died in your sin because you refused through your rebellion to serve God. And you're dead, and you go to hell, and you're in hell, and you realize that you are separated from God for all eternity. What could be worse than that? What could be worse than that? To accept the pleasures of this world for money and then to die and to go to hell and to realize that you are forever separated from God, separated from His mercy, separated from His goodness. Was it worth it to satisfy the lust of your flesh while you're here on earth? And the Bible says your life is but a vapor. You're here 1 minute and you're gone the next. All of us that have known people that have passed away, when they pass away, they're gone. They're gone. They're not coming back. They're not here anymore. They're gone. Their life was but a vapor. So whatever this world has to give, it can't be compared to heaven and to being with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ forever. So there's not enough money in the world for any of us to backslide. There's no sin that we cannot overcome. That we would want to be separated from God for all eternity. Eternity is forever. Okay, that's a hard concept for me to grasp, and I'm sure for any of us to grasp eternity, eternal life. We can't grasp it in our mind because even the Bible says we see through a glass darkly. We don't know everything. We don't see everything. We accept by faith that God is real. And us that have been born again, you can't take that away from us. I came out of the world. It was a dumb, stupid life that I had before Christ. Just dumb. I know what it is to be born again. I know what it is for Jesus to change my life. So I'm not going back to the slot bucket. No, you can't get me back there. And all of us that have been truly born again, there's no way we would ever go back to our old life. No, you couldn't give me the biggest mansion, the finest car, and all the money in the world to go back. No way. So these people, they yield to their flesh. They yield to whatever temptation comes their way. And then they want to say, oh, we just hate those judgmental Christians. And we just hate those people that try to tell us that God doesn't love our sin. Well, you'll remember it one day. You'll remember it one day that we told you the truth. You'll remember it. So, my brothers and sisters, don't be deceived that everybody that comes down the pike here and that you see on television and they're pushing a book and they're famous, they're a movie star, and in their last movie they said the F word 100 times and they took their clothes off and they kissed somebody else's. Now, tell me this, okay? Now, this really bothers me. How would you like your husband, you know, your husband, they pay your husband $5 million to get into a bed with another woman and kiss her? Now, does that make any sense at all? And then Hollywood would have you believe that it's only acting. No, it's not acting. Acting is you don't have to kiss anybody else. You can just show that you're married. You don't have to kiss the person. You don't have to do anything else, okay? No, that's not acting. That's real. So, but no, they would have you believe that Christians Christian actors, they commit adultery in the movies for money, and then they go to church on Sunday, and they're Christians. No, that's not Christianity. That's not Christianity, no. We shouldn't accept it. We should not accept it. It's not acceptable. Romans 6:19 says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. What happened to holiness? I don't know. I think like people think holiness is old fashioned. Like whatever happened to going to church on Sunday and the ladies are wearing dresses, especially like the people that are doing the worship service. Whatever happened to them, you know, wearing dresses and modest dresses? Why can't people dress nice? Why do they have to show everything? Why? I don't understand that. Holiness, like you talk about holiness now and modesty, and some people think you're strange. Like, wow, you're old-fashioned. No, holiness, God, look it up. It's in the Bible. Holiness, modesty, being modest. It's like Paula White, the pastor. Okay, she calls herself a pastor. How would you like your pastor to come to church on Sunday and she's got a short, skin-tight dress on and she's exposing herself? Christian? Why do people accept that? Like, why don't they leave the building? We have to take a stand for what's right. If you're going to a church and your pastor's wife is coming in and she's not dressed modest, leave. You don't want your daughters around this woman. And your pastor cusses in the pulpit. And look, I don't want to hear sermons about sex, okay? I don't need to come to church to hear sermons about sex. You want to talk about sex? You have a meeting for the men in the men's group, and you have a meeting for the women. But I don't want to come to church on Sunday and hear about your sex life and anybody's sexual problems. That's not the time and place for it. Like that nutty guy, Ed Young, pastor guy in Texas, he brings a bed into the church and puts it on the platform, and he's laying in the bed with his wife in church. That's not church. That's not church. And yet, if you look at his program, he's on television, what they call Christian, and it's not, because this nut shouldn't even be on television. He should be on MTV or something, but not on so-called Christian networks, a nutcase. We don't need sex seminars, and they have billboards. Some churches have billboards talking about this, advertising it so that people will come to church. What? You're crazy. Enough already. Enough. I'm telling you, if you're a pastor and wherever you're going to church, and they act like a bunch of reprobates, leave that place. Leave it. Enough. You're better off staying home and reading your Bible yourself. You don't corrupt yourself and your husband and your children. We have to stop supporting this mess. Talking to a friend of mine, and we're saying, well, there's so much more. It seems like there's so much more of them. And they have such a large platform. Yeah, they have a large platform because they've managed to deceive people. They've done a very good job of it, and the church, for the most part, just accepts it. Oh, well, I have to go because the Bible says that I have to go to church on Sunday. I can't forsake the assembly, the fellowshipping with the saints. I have to go. No, you don't have to go over there. No, you don't have to go over there. No, no. If they are, like I said, acting like a bunch of reprobates and they're not even teaching you the truth, you don't have to go over there and corrupt yourself, these perverts. They were saying, I think there was one report where they were saying that they take in billions of dollars a year, these so-called ministries, billions, because people are supporting them. Why? 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 Can you figure it out? Yeah, it amazes me. I'm astounded. I'm astounded that I can still turn on TV and see Mike Murdoch. He's still there. Yeah, people haven't figured out yet that he's a con artist. He's a pervert. He's not saved. Nobody that's saved and born again tells you to give them money so you can get money. That, oh, if you send money to them, then God's going to bless you. No, no, no. Christians don't talk like that. That's not how Christians talk. No, we don't talk like that. They didn't figure out Benny Hinn's a phony yet. They didn't figure that out. They didn't figure out that TBN's not real. They're not Christians. They didn't figure that out. They didn't figure out that Marcus and Joni Lamb, they're not Christians. You didn't figure that out yet. You didn't figure it out. I can't believe it. Everybody's got a Bible in this country. Are you reading it? Do people read it? It's like, when is it going to end? Will the real church of the Lord Jesus Christ stand up? Let's stand up and say, no, we've had enough. We are not going to take it anymore. Don't be afraid if your friends don't like you. Don't be afraid. So what? As long as God likes you, that's all that matters. What matters is, does God like you? You don't have to be a coward and not tell people how you really think and how you really feel. No, enough. That's enough already. No. Do we really believe people are dying and going to hell? Do we really believe that? Then if we really believed it, we wouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We would not be ashamed. No. So, let's all do our part. Really examine ourselves and think about who we're supporting, who we're promoting, who we listen to, who we allow in our house. Do you allow those perverts in your house? I had a lady write to me a few months back. She let Mike Murdoch in her house through the television. She let him in her house. And now he's pretty persuasive. You know, you could watch him for a few minutes and he gets you hooked. Because he is a real good hypnotist. Mike Murdoch, oh yeah, he's good at what he does. And she said she almost was going to get out. She was almost going to go take a loan out on her credit card for $1,000 because her kid needed something. And she was going to send it to that snake. Yeah. Don't let them in your house. No. That's what the Bible talks about. That there's a scripture that talks about letting the wrong people in your house, the wrong spirit. Don't let them come in. No. So, we will see what happens, but we know that Jesus Christ is victorious. He's won the victory for us, and we can go through anything we need to go through on this earth. We will get through it through faith in Jesus Christ and His Word. I want to thank you all for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed the program. And don't forget to check out our website, propheticnews.com. And we have the YouTube channel under my name, Susan Puzio, and then a new channel, Greedy Preachers TV. And please remember Brittany Koper, in your prayers, the granddaughter of Poland Jan Crouch. She has taken a bold stand, and they don't like it. But anyway, we need to remember to lift her up. Remember, there's going to be people coming out from these families, these dynasties, and we have to embrace them. There might be some things that we don't like, but we have to embrace some of these people that are coming out of these families. And even the cults, they're going to grow eventually. None of us have arrived, and we know that. So we need to pray for them, because here's a girl that could have inherited multiple millions of dollars and eventually been a big part of the TBN network, but she chose not to. She chose to expose their wicked deeds. And so we want to pray for her and embrace her. So anyway, remember, the most important thing today is, are you born again? Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you repented of your sins? Jesus said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. Read it for yourself. Once you're born of your mother, then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And that is not baptism. That is being born again. You have to make the confession with your mouth. Read the book of Romans. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You must accept it. You must do it. Ask Jesus into your life today. He can forgive your sins. He's the only one that can. And he will remember them no more. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And he is coming again. He is coming again. So remember that. Let that be a comfort to you today. And tune in next week for another program, Prophetic News. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. City that's set on a hill, its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.